The Lord is good, and if you are a believer, you know that. But I want those who have not yet opened their hearts to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, I want you to know that the Lord is good. And being part of the body of Christ, we are producers of certain things that will make the life of our society a whole lot better. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, reading from the New King James Version, Galatians 5, verse 22 through verse 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen to God's word. Oftentimes we are fasting and praying for the Lord to reveal to us as individuals those areas in our lives that yet have to come under the control of the Holy Spirit, under the control of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Some of the things that were or can be exposed to us may not be pleasant to behold. Yet, we thank God, we appreciate God for loving us enough to reveal the deficits in our own lives. My beloved, those that are listening, I want to remind you, God is gracious. And none of us does God want us to miss the mark. It is God's desire that all he has had written in his word would lead us to repentance. God wants us to be made whole, hallelujah, in him. So everything that God has written in his word is to lead us to repent, especially those of us who are living with private or personal sins. God, through his son Jesus Christ, has called us to repent and turn from our transgression unto the grace that is offered by our Lord. After receiving some of the negative aspects of flesh fulfillment, it is no wonder that the Lord Jesus gave the parable of the lost sheep. In Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Amen. In Luke 15:7, it says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. My beloved, I want you to know that it is a principle of human nature that the recovery of an object in danger of being lost affords much more intense joy than the quiet possession of many that are saved. This, my beloved, our Savior illustrated by the case of the lost sheep and of the piece of silver. It may also be illustrated by many other things, but thus we rejoice most in our health when we recover from a dangerous disease. And I'm a witness to that, because thank God that after being diagnosed with leukemia in my body and being given 2 months to live, the Lord God worked a miracle in my life. And instead of me being in glory right now, God has kept me here going on my fourth year. And I rejoice in that. And because I understand that God rescued me from danger, from disease. And so we rejoice over that person that was rescued from disease more so than that person that lived a healthy life. It doesn't mean that we're not happy for that person that has a healthy life and their body is not stricken with disease. We thank God for that. But what about that person that was on their way to glory, but God gives them extra time in this life? You rejoice more so because you understand it's God who saved that person and gave them another chance. We rejoice that even property is saved from conflagration of the tempest much more than that which has not been in danger. And so this feeling our Lord represents as existing in heaven. Likewise, in like manner, on the same principle, there is joy. Hallelujah. There's joy in heaven amongst the angels of God. Read for yourself Luke chapter 15, verse 10. Well, let me read it. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. There's joy, I'm telling you, that you see that person in guilt, that person in danger of losing their eternal state in the kingdom of God. Now, you see those that have been saved, but the Lord Jesus says, when a sinner comes, turns their life around, gives their life to Christ, and now they are a recipient, oh, glory to God, they are a recipient of eternal life. The angels in heaven are rejoicing at that one. Glory to God. If there's one of you out there that you feel that life is not worth living, I'm telling you, turn your life over to God. And if you do that right now under the sound of my voice, If you do that, my beloved, the angels in heaven will be rejoicing on your behalf. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents, one who rebels against God. However great may be their sins, or no matter how small may be their sins, if a sinner, he must perish unless he repents, and they rejoice at his repentance because it recovers him back, hallelujah, to the love of God, and because it will save him from eternal death. Oh, hallelujah. The angels, listen to me, my beloved, the angels are rejoicing when a sinner turns from their wicked ways and turn back to the living God. Oh God, thank God for Matthew chapter 3, verse 10, where it says, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew chapter 9, verse 13, but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Remember in Galatians chapter 5, verses 21 through 26, it reads, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, the Bible says, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Repentance, I tell you, the Bible says, repent ye. Repentance implies sorrow for past offenses, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. The Bible declares that, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Hallelujah. Thank God. And then in Psalms chapter 50, the 51st Psalm, verse 40, it says, against you, you only have I sinned. This is David speaking, and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. I'm just trying to get us to understand, my brothers and sisters, that true repentance has sorrow for sin, not only because it is ruinous to our souls, but chiefly because it is an offense against God, and it is that abominable thing which he hates. The Bible says in Jeremiah 44:4, however, I have sent you to all my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not do this abominable thing that I hate. Why? Because it produced, by seeing the great danger and misery to which it exposes us, sin, my beloved, sin is an injustice against God. And so I'm saying to us today, we have to hold on to the living God. There are two words in the New Testament translated repentance, one of which denotes a change of mind or a reformation of life, and the other has to do with sorrow or regret that sin has been committed. The word here used is the former, calling the Jews to a changed life or a reformation of conduct. My beloved, we have to learn that God wants our lives to change. God wants us to have a life that is loving and caring. I don't have time to go into the fruits of the Spirit. I'll be able to do that at another time. But we got to understand, we as human beings need to change our walk. We need to change our talk. We need to come to Christ and ask Him, God, forgive us of our sins. Turn us from our wicked ways. Remember, I use that word reformation. There has to be a reforming of the way we do things. Hey, a reforming of our conduct, a reforming of our conversation, a reforming of the way we approach one another. We need to learn, my beloved, that we must embrace one another, no matter what our ethnicity might be, no matter what race class we might belong to. We must learn to love our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. If there's any place on this planet that we are one, it's in the body of Christ. There's only one Lord, hey, one faith, and one baptism. I declare to you today, there's only one Lord over all, and who is in all. So I came to pray that you would abide by what the Lord Jesus is calling us to do. Our Savior did not mean to imply that there were any such a person that did not need His loving grace. We all need the grace of God. We all need to come to Christ humbly and submissive to the will of God. We need to walk in the will of God. We need to walk with the fruit of the Spirit. Recognize, it does not say fruit of the Spirit. It said fruit of the Spirit. It's a singular. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, hallelujah, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is the outward expression of Christ dwelling within each and every one of the believer. And this fruit, I declare, grows and is expressed in any person that is willing to die of their sins, die to self, and be alive in Christ throughout the rest of their days. God bless you. Thank you, Brother Melvin Slade, for giving us this opportunity to share with the gospel for the glory of Jesus Christ. KRAJ 100.9 FM in the beautiful Antelope Valley. Come and worship with us at the Calvary Baptist Church of Pacoima, 12928 Vaughn Street, where I serve along with my loving wife, Pastor Prophetess Gloria Broaddus. Come and open your hearts to Jesus, who died for your sin and rose that you might have life and have that life more abundantly.